This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is Carrie McNamara. Carrie is the CEO of OCP North America. I'm going to dig in deep into this phosphate fertilizer issue and court case and oral arguments as well. So we'll dig into that in just a moment. First off, let's dig into cotton condition ratings. Brad Rippey with USDA.
Usually with cotton, how Texas goes is how the nation goes due to the large percentage of the crop produced by the Lone Star State. Texas this week coming in at 48%, very poor to poor. We also see some fairly large numbers coming in from some of our Delta and Southeastern states in terms of lower conditions. Tennessee, for example, coming in this week at 26% of the cotton rated very poor to poor.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by Carrie McNamara. Carrie is the CEO of OCP North America. Carrie, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Tony. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Well, let's start. For those who don't know who OCP North America is, what's that elevator speech?
Yeah, thanks, Tony. So OCP North America is, not surprisingly, the North American subsidiary of OCP, which is a Moroccan-based company that is one of the major global producers and suppliers of phosphate fertilizers, serving farmers across the globe. OCP is over 100 years old. Morocco, by the grace of God, or dumb geological luck, or some combination of the two, is blessed with the world's largest reserves of phosphate ore, which is the input into phosphate fertilizers.
Well, and maybe another segue here into where we are currently with that market. We watched prices earlier this year really moving higher. Was that something that affected the phosphates market? And where would you put the industry right now?
Well, farmers have really been getting hit with high prices on all their fertilizer inputs. But I think we need to distinguish a couple of things here. The price shock in phosphate fertilizers had a first wave well before the whole Ukraine and Russia situation. And that first wave was caused precisely by the withdrawal of imports from the market in response to the matter we're going to be discussing about the phosphate fertilizer duty case. And then, of course, there's been a further shock that has hit not just phosphate fertilizers, but nitrogen, et cetera, caused by the broader global fertilizer supply crisis generated by the Ukraine-Russia conflict. Now, we do see prices easing a bit from their ridiculous highs, astronomical highs. Unfortunately, some of that we think is going to be demand destruction at the farmer level, where they just simply, cannot afford and cannot take the risk to buy the level of fertilizer that they'd normally like to apply. So we're going to have to see how that plays out.
You opened the door to ask about the duties that were placed on phosphate fertilizer. Tell us a little more about that.
Yeah, so, as I say, we serve markets all around the world, and we've been honored to provide product to farmers in the U.S. and across North America, among other places, for quite a while now. In June 2020, the Mosaic Company, which is the dominant U.S. producer of phosphate fertilizers, put in a complaint saying that imports from Russia and Morocco had harmed them in 2019. Despite the deep flaws in the argument, they won the first round with the International Trade Commission of the Department of Commerce. And so duties were imposed on us, and we had to make the very difficult decision to temporarily withdraw from the market because it's not just that the duties were 20%, but also that because of the way this process goes, the duties could be retroactively increased and increased dramatically down the road. So there's an enormous cloud of uncertainty, and we very much hope that this appeal process we're in will create a situation where we can get back to serving U.S. farmers as we serve currently farmers on both the northern and southern border in both Canada and Mexico.
And I'm going to take us into that appeal process and the oral arguments in just a moment, but maybe a little more on the trade case. All of this is handled through the trade courts. So this is obviously something that the courts are very familiar with when they're looking at these type of cases, because that's what their focus is. Is that a safe assumption?
Yeah, well, look, let me get one thing clear. We absolutely respect the process. And, so we're very actively involved in the process of contesting this decision. Just very quickly, the way this comes together is that when the complaint was issued by the domestic producer, that was put before a U.S. agency called the U.S. International Trade Commission. And their job is to decide whether indeed the domestic industry is injured by something, something about the nature of foreign imports. If the domestic industry is injured just by their own bad luck or their own poor performance, that's a different matter. But the ITC is meant to find whether imports, and specifically something relating to the nature of those imports or how foreign governments advantage those imports or whatever, that it was that that caused the domestic industry to be injured. Then the U.S. Department of Commerce decides what level of duties should be imposed on imports to counteract or countervail, as they call it, those duties. And we, fundamentally disagree with the finding of the Trade Commission that Moroccan imports were causing harm to the domestic industry, and that's the finding that we are in the process of appealing.
Now,
which of course leads us to of course object to the level of duties imposed by the Department of Commerce.
Is this just a case about Mosaic, or is this a bigger case? Does it have maybe tentacles that are a little bit longer?
Well, I guess the best way to answer that is to describe the structure of the domestic industry that is claiming to be injured here. And it's the phosphate fertilizer industry. As many of your listeners will know, that industry has substantially consolidated over the last 20 years. There used to be 10 or 12 or more producers. There are now really only a handful, and Mosaic itself represents a clear majority of domestic production. There are other smaller producers, one of which in particular, Simplot, became a co-plaintiff in this case. Mosaic is large enough, has a large enough share of domestic production that they were able to initiate this case all by themselves, because you need 50% of the impacted domestic industry to complain in order for a case like this to be initiated. So they were able to get it started all by themselves. The interesting thing, though, is that as many of your listeners will know, they've been, back in 2017, they closed one of their plants that produced over 1 million tons of fertilizer per year and publicly announced that, gee, we know that that's going to reduce domestic production and that's going to call in imports, and we're fine with that. I'm not quoting them exactly, but that was the essence of the message. They then turned around and said, oh, those imports are hurting us. And I can explain why, the difficulties in 2019 that they're complaining about had nothing to do with us. But we'll get to that.
Well, and one thing that I really pulled from this, and not necessarily a question, just an outsider listening in, that the question the court really has to answer at this point is whether the tariffs are justified or they appeared that way due to maybe some major miscalculations, some of what you described earlier. I just wonder, though, as we move forward, I'm seeing a report that's out that's projecting phosphate fertilizer, that global market, could grow to a rate at 10%. So increasing 10% between now and 2026. So I guess the question is, as you look down the road, are you optimistic?
Well, look, you know, we are a global company. We're honored to serve farmers around the world. We have indicated that because we anticipate there's going to be growing demand for phosphate fertilizers, that we will invest further in our already world-class production platform to increase our capacity to supply. You know, look, anyone who really knows the U.S. phosphate fertilizer market knows that it will increasingly over time need imports as part of the solution because of shrinking domestic capacity and declining quality and supply of phosphate ore. We think there's a strong future for phosphate fertilizers. You know, phosphorus is an essential element in all plant, animal, and human life. Unlike nitrogen, it can't be captured from the atmosphere. We, of course, never want farmers to apply a single molecule more than their soil and their crops need, which is what we're really working on, getting new blends that are just appropriate to their crop and soil, and we've been pioneering that in a lot of places, including Africa. But yeah, we think the future is bright for phosphate fertilizer, and we'd like to be part of that bright future for American farmers.
If you'd like to learn more about OCP North America, you can find them online, OCPNA.com. That's OCPNA.com. Carrie McNamara is CEO of OCP North America on today's Agribusiness Report. If you don't push yourself, how will you know what you're really made of? Cotton Research and Promotion Program works to develop innovative performance technologies that redefine cotton's capabilities and helps athletes push themselves further. Cotton Incorporated is working hard to educate consumers about cotton's versatility, especially in the athletic apparel market. Forever Cotton. Visit cottonboard.org/forevercotton.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Brad Rippey's a meteorologist with USDA.
We do finish the year with all seven Plains states coming in with more than one-fifth of the crop rated very poor to poor, led by Texas at 83%, and then followed by Oklahoma at 56%. That's where the drought damage was most extensive.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
When it comes to farming cotton in West Texas, the formula for success is simple. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why growers rely on Delta Pine brand cotton. Bred, tested, and made in West Texas for West Texas growing conditions. Strong is a legacy all its own. Protect yours with strong cotton from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report.
The Manitou New Ag MLT telehandlers have been tailor-made to handle the rigors of farm life. From the Agile 600 series to the Hefty 900 series, they are all named one of the most comfortable machines on the market, complete with interchangeable attachments, complete cab access, and total visibility. Manitou is the smart choice for your farm. Learn more at LivingstonMachinery.com and to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24-7 service for your 24-7 operation.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
Welcome back. It's the Agribusiness Report. Let's look at the extended forecast with Brad Rippey.
Still more good news for much of the Midwest, the Mid-Atlantic, and the Northeast. We expect to see near to even pockets of below normal temperatures in most of those areas. However, the heat will persist in many parts of the country, including and in particular the South Central United States, generally the Deep South, and then also in the Far West. Heat will be building as we head into mid-July, it looks like, across the northwestern United States. Meanwhile, in terms of precipitation patterns, it looks like the east should stay pretty well watered. But as we get into mid-July, parts of the upper Midwest actually may start drying out. It's not going to be particularly hot, but we're just going to see cool, dry air overspreading the upper Midwest. For the south central United States, including parts of Texas, hot and dry weather. And then the active monsoon circulation expected to continue in the southwest